Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
We're joined now by the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. I was thinking of you and medical experts when President Biden on 60 Minutes last night said the pandemic is over. He said we still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it, but the pandemic is over. And I'm thinking, and I'm sure you were too, this is not the way to encourage people to get this booster, is it?
Well, yeah, you know, we have to be careful about the message. When you say the pandemic is over, people are thinking, oh, it's gone. Everything is done. When in fact, all it really has done is shifted from a pandemic to either an epidemic or an endemic, depending how you look at it. So endemic meaning, you know what, it's here. It's going to be in the community. It's something we're going to have to deal with. But it's present here in the community all the time. You know, epidemic, large number of people within communities or region, and pandemic meaning around the world. Well, we're not hearing a lot about things around the world right now. So, I mean, I wish you would have worded it differently, saying, you know, it's within our reach now that we are going to have this disease under control, but we really do need individuals right now to step up. I think the message may have landed poorly with people going, oh, it's over, we're done? I didn't hear that.
All you got to do is look at the numbers, somewhere around 62,000 new infections and 466 deaths daily still in the United States. And now, pretty soon, we're going to be going from dining and meeting al fresco to staying warm inside, and you've got the flu going around too. So how concerned are you about all that?
Yeah, a little bit. And you have to remember, too, that that 65,000 number is, you know, tip of the iceberg. So many people now are doing home tests and not getting those reported. So, I mean, I you know somebody now who has COVID. So that 65,000 number is a number that have actually have gone to a hospital or gone to a clinic where they had a PCR test done where it's been documented. So you can multiply that by, you know, easily probably 10, if not more, as far as cases. So BA4 and BA5 are still around. And as the weather changes, we certainly are concerned that we're going to see another bump in cases. And it's not going to be so much the stress of the hospitals. And the stress is going to be more on the economy, I look at it as. And the stress in the hospitals is going to be having workers able to come in and work in an environment when they have COVID. So, you know, we're going to be keeping them out of this environment and the ability to care for all the patients, just like it would be if you're making widgets and half your company is out with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time to remind people that in Chicago, unvaccinated people have been more than 3 times at risk of being hospitalized with COVID and have about a 6 times higher risk of dying from COVID complications compared with people who have been boosted, right?
100%. You know, we report out COVID patients in the hospital every morning. We still do, and we've been doing it, obviously, for 2 years now. Our numbers have held very steady, but it's very interesting that after we report out the number, we report out how many of those are incidental versus symptomatic. The incidentals continue to rise. In other words, it's in the community. People are coming in for other things, but we still test everyone, and we're finding that they're positive for COVID. So they might be here to have their knee replaced. They might be here because of a skin infection or a gallbladder. The number of patients who are here with COVID and actually COVID symptoms is small, but almost 100% of them are unvaccinated.
And there is a new variant out there. Where and how prevalent is this?
Yeah, it's interesting, Bob. You know, we knew that when BA4 and BA5 had the ability to spread as quickly as they could and to go as great number as they could, we know we were going to have variants. And sure enough, we have one, and it's 4.6, and people are laughing, seriously, can't you name it something else? But it's actually a BA4 virus that has mutated a little bit and has made itself even more transmissible than BA4 and BA5. It was in very low numbers until just the last couple of weeks. We're now 10% in the UK, 10% in the United States, which is a number that really gets our attention because it went from 1% to 10% within just a couple of weeks. That being said, BA4, BA5 are still 97, 98% of all the cases. So certainly another reason to get vaccinated, because we know this new subvariant is extremely transmissible and appears to be spreading rapidly.
And the new booster is effective against the new variant?
Correct. We assume so.
Okay.
You know, the new booster is certainly has BA4 and BA5. Unless this 4.6 is dramatic, which they don't feel it is, they feel that the vaccine, the booster right now that's available that has the bivalent BA4, BA5, will cover for this. And that's one of the reasons we are asking people to get this right now if you're eligible for it, because we want to make sure that we're keeping kids in school this year. We want to make sure that we have people in the workplace. You know, we've already lost a year of education, if not more, with kids. So let's make sure we can keep them as safe as possible and careful around the households as well. So mm-hmm. getting the parents vaccinated as well as the kids is very important.
It's our Monday morning house call with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, what did you think of this study about how body positioning affects the absorption of pills and what these researchers found?
Yeah, Bob, it's not surprising. It's almost, if you think about, I'm trying to figure out exactly how to say it, but logic would tell you the stomach, as we swallow, will swallow down the esophagus, goes into the stomach, and then the stomach empties onto the right side into the small intestine. So this study showed that if patients lie on their right side after taking a pill, that the absorption is much faster and that the absorption is much more effective and quick if they're in that position. Now, you know, I look at it and say, okay, that's really interesting, but kind of I could have said, yeah, I could have guessed that. But we also have to understand that people don't do that normally. So when I look at this study and I go, okay, well, where is this going to be impacted? It's certainly going to be impacted on individuals who need a quick release of that medication. In other words, mm-hmm. I'm taking a medicine for anxiety because I'm very anxious right now. Boy, I want that medicine to work as quickly as possible. Or I'm in severe pain. I want that to work quickly then. The others, though, people who take cholesterol medicine and blood pressure medicine and diabetes medicine, things that they take chronically, they're not taking it the exact same time every day, and they're usually doing it standing up. So I want to make sure that people don't say, oh my gosh, I have to lay on my right side because I need this medicine to work quicker. No, and I'd almost be careful, because some of those may actually impact you, because we're looking at the studies that these drugs were done with being taken while standing up, not while individuals are lying on their side.
Yeah, in addition to the right side, the research team tested taking pills on the left side, standing upright and lying straight back. They did all of that, right?
Correct, yeah. It was a well-done study to really look at this. Now, you know, all my comments are certainly for those people who are in the ambulatory world. For those of us who are in, you know, taking care of patients in the hospital, certainly it should be in the back of our mind, right? Because now we know if someone is laying flat back on their back, their medication that they're taking orally is not going to be absorbed as quickly. So we should be looking at those individuals and perhaps repositioning them to make sure that that medication is working the way we want to while they're in the hospital. And then they go back out into the ambulatory world and back home, they go back to taking it the way they had in the past.
Also, I think there's always some confusion, and I know it depends on the medication, but when you should take pills, with food, without, you have a general rule on this?
Well, there really isn't a general rule about almost any of those things, right? So with and without food really is based on the medication itself. So it should say right on the container, it should say take with foods or take on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the timing of medications, if you all remember, go back, you know, not even that long ago, we used to take medications sometimes four times a day. Well, we knew the compliance went to about zero. So now you look at how these pills are made so that the amount of medication can be delivered in a once-a-day dose and sometimes in a twice-a-day dose, but really we try to stay with once-a-day. And that's made because the way it dissolves and the way it's absorbed in the intestines. So medications that have some side effects, you know, that might make you drowsy, physicians will often say, hey, take this at night. Might make you feel a little uneasy, take it at night, because really it's that initial bolus of the medicine that's giving you that side effect, where the long-term effect of it by the time you wake up is doing what it really should be doing. So it's all about timing and really more about really getting used to the timing of it.
Yeah. Okay. And what about vitamins? Should I be lying on my right side when I take the 1,000 vitamins my wife gives me every day?
No. You could take those standing up and walking around. As a matter of fact, vitamins are probably overused. I mean, if we really look at it, if you have a good balanced diet, there's probably only a few vitamins that we actually need. You know, in the winter, we certainly need vitamin D. We know the importance of that with the immune. But in the summer, we get plenty of vitamin D from the outside. But really, you should look at your diet and make sure that it's a balanced diet, because that's where we're getting it. People love to take lots of vitamin C. Well, vitamin C is what we call a water-soluble vitamin. In other words, whatever you take that's additional, you're losing it through the kidneys, so you're just kind of wasting it. Vitamins D, E, A, and K are all fat-soluble, so we store some of those up. But certainly making sure you're on a good, balanced diet is going to give you all the vitamins you need. That being said, I don't think any of us are, and I always recommend a strong, good multivitamin every day, and then along with vitamin D in the winter.
Too much medical information and so much of it online now from different sources. Dangerous for the layman, especially in my case, I'm a hypochondriac. So that's why I'm glad we talk to you every Monday morning, Doc. Have a good week. Thank you so much.
You got it, Bob. Take care. We'll talk soon.